Boker Tov.
Boker Tov.
Shalom Lechem. Good. You say Shalom Lecha. So I say Shalom Lechem, and you reply back Shalom Lecha. So hopefully you haven't forgotten your Hebrew in the last 3 weeks. So we're in Dobson's book in chapter lesson 7, in which we've been learning more about nouns and the absolute and construct state of nouns. So let's just briefly review section 7.2, where we have this summarized for us. So 7.2 on page 77, nouns are masculine or feminine. So they have gender, and then they have number. They can be singular or plural. And the form of the noun, we call the morphology of the noun, varies for each of those four states. So section A there of 7.2, the word for an old man is zaken, so that's if the word stands on its own, means an old man. If you want to then add that to another noun and say the old man of, and say something else about him, it's zakan, so you shorten up the first syllable. In the plural, it is zakenim. This is a masculine noun, zakenim. And then, if you want to then add that to another noun and say the old man of something, it's zikne. And that's pretty standard for it's a typical masculine noun. In the singular, to go from what we call the absolute state, where the noun stands on its own, to the construct state, where it's then joined with a following noun. The consonants change the same, and usually there's some shortening up of the vowel, usually of the first vowel. The plural form ends in im, so hirik yod mem, and then the construct form of that ends in e, a tsere yod. So that's the standard pattern for a masculine noun. Down in section C, we have some feminine nouns. Baraka, which means a blessing. And the construct of that, the blessing of, is birkat. The plural in the absolute form is birakot, and in the construct plural form, it's birkot. So what happens there for feminine noun? Most feminine nouns, the usual feminine noun ends in a, so kametz he. The construct is formed by changing that he to a tav. And there might then also be some change of the vowels. The plural ends in ot in both the absolute and the construct, and with perhaps some change of vowels. So if you just remember those, the masculine, absolute and construct have the same consonants. That they in the masculine, the plural is im, and the plural construct is a. And then for the feminine, in the singular, it's going to be a for the absolute, at for the construct, and then ot in the plural for both absolute and construct. So this idea of this construct is a little confusing to people because our English nouns don't work this way. But once you start, because it occurs in virtually every verse of the Bible, you'll read it so often that you'll get used to this idea. Okay? And last time, we started doing some readings where we saw these construct nouns being used. You don't particularly have to learn the rules as to how the vowels are going to change. Really just be aware that the vowels are likely to change. And they'll do that for similar reasons in English. Basically, when you add on a noun after one of these construct nouns, you tend to end up with a longer, what really amounts to a longer word. And with multi-syllable words, you tend to shorten the syllables at the front of the word. So that's really why the syllable shortening happens. Okay, so let's resume where we were at section 11 on page 84 and see these in practice. We'll do this by going around and practicing our reading. Joyce, you'd take through, it'd be the first two lines through the end of the sentence. Good. Good. So we'll stop there. That's the end of the sentence with those two, what looks like two diamonds as a colon, marks the end of the verse. Well read. Hadavar asher haya el Yirmiyahu me'et Adonai lemor. Okay, so let's all try saying that. Hadavar asher haya el Yirmiyahu. Yirmiyahu, that's a mouthful, Yirmiyahu. Me'et Adonai lemor. So hadavar, the word, so the ha there on the front is the article, ha with a dagesh in the first consonant of the noun, asher, the relative pronoun, which, and then haya is the verb to be, so it's the word which was to Yirmiyahu, Jeremiah, me'et, from, so the me there on the front is the preposition min. From eight is the direct object, the Lord. And then lemor, either translate with saying or just open quotation marks. And this is the usual, typical way in which a prophetic proclamation is announced. You say that the word of the Lord was to somebody. And you use the verb to be. So over on the next page, near the top there under notes, Dobson notes the verb haya means it was, the word which was to Jeremiah. In English we need a translation like the word which came to Jeremiah or the word which Jeremiah received. So it's really sort of making a statement, the word of the Lord was present with Jeremiah. So, Shemu et divrei habarit hazot v'dibartam el ish Yehuda v'al yoshve Yerushalayim. Now that last word there, Yerushalayim, notice at the end of that it's spelt a little oddly. Yerushala, and then under the lamed we have a vowel, kametz. And then there's that hirek sitting there to the right of the mem. And this is an oddity of the biblical manuscripts that applies for this word. And it's just this place name. And we're to understand that, and basically pronounce it as if there's a missing letter there, which is a yod. So we actually pronounce it like that, Yerushalayim, even though the yod isn't there. So that particular one breaks the rule that there's no consonant there for that vowel to go with. It doesn't go with the mem. The only time it occurs on the right is with this particular word. And then sometimes we've seen a pata, a short a, occurs on the right-hand side. That's when it's the last one. That occurs regularly. That's part of the regular form of words. But this is an oddity, and it's only for the place name Jerusalem, Yerushalayim. So you won't see this with any other word. It's what we call a perpetual kare reading, which, well, we'll talk about that a bit later on. So we have Shemu is the command, the imperative of Shema, plural imperative. Hear or listen. Et divrei habarit. Divrei, that's the plural construct of davar, which we see over on note 2 on the other next page. Davar can mean word, demand, promise, thing. It's a wide range of meanings. And here, we could translate it as the terms of or stipulations of, as being a better translation than the words of. So it's in the construct form. Notice that ending, a. So it's tsere yod, typical plural, masculine plural construct ending. And so we expect to see a noun following it, berit, so the terms of the covenant, and then hazot, this covenant. So zot, the demonstrative pronoun. The debartam, and speak or say them, so debarta would be speak, and then the am ending is them, third plural, masculine plural, El Ish Yehuda, to the man of Judah. Then we have another note, Ish, meaning man, husband, or anyone. In Ish Yehuda, it has a collective sense, even though Ish is singular, but it's really referring to all the men of Judah. So we translate it as all the people of Judah. It's a collective. Ve'al Yoshvei Yerushalayim. And to the Yoshvei, there we have another construct. Yoshvei, note 4, says the inhabitants of. It's actually a participle derived from the verb yashav, meaning he sits or stays or inhabits. The singular participle yoshev is one inhabiting. Plural is yoshavim, the people inhabiting. And then what we have here is the construct of that yoshevei, the inhabitants of, followed by another noun, in this case, Yerushalayim. Yeah, in that case, yoshevei. And I'm saying that because there's no dagesh in the bait. You haven't yet learned all the rules for how you determine whether that shava is vocal or silent. But in this case, you have to work it out through a little process. And of course, you have to do all this on the fly as you're reading, which you can't do at this stage. So, but how you determine there, it's there's no dagesh in the bait. So it's pronounced as a V instead of a B. And that happens, that means it's preceded by an open syllable. An open syllable is one that ends in a vowel, not a consonant. So that means that the shava there must be vocal. Otherwise, it would be yoshbe if that shava was silent. So it's yoshbe. So you all comfortable with how that verse is working and how the construct nouns are working in that? Okay, John. So, v'amarta alehem ko amar Adonai Elohe Yisrael Arur Ha'ish Asher Lo Yishma Divrei Habrit Hazot. Let's all try that together, read that together. V'amarta alehem ko amar Adonai Elohe Yisrael Arur Ha'ish Asher Lo Yishma et Divrei Habarit Hazot. V'amarta, so that's a second masculine singular ending, that ta ending, and say alehem to them, so el plus hem, third masculine plural ending. Koamar, thus says Adonai Elohei Yisrael, the Lord, the God of Israel. So Elohei there, construct form of Elohim. And now here's what the Lord pronounces, Arur, cursed. That's the opposite of Baruch, which is blessed. This is the antonym of that. Cursed the man, and then in English we have to supply the verb to be as a linking verb. Asher, the relative pronoun, who lo yishma, does not hear or heed or hear obey. Note 5 over the page says lo yishma, he does not obey. Shema has a fairly wide range area of meaning. He heard, he listened, he understood, he obeyed. So it's the idea that you hear something and then you act upon it, just like we have in our English word heed. And then et introduces the direct object, divrei habarit hazot, the terms of this covenant. So divrei there, plural construct. Okay, all okay with that? Mary. So asher tziviti et avotechem b'yom hotzi'i otam me'eretz mitzrayim Mikur Habarzel Lemor. Okay, let's try that together. Asher Zviti et avotechem b'yom hotzi'i otam me'eretz mitzrayim mikur habarzel lemor. So asher is relative pronoun again, which, and this is picking up on the habarit hazot, it's covenant, which ziviti, I commanded, et avotechem, your fathers, so avot. Now, avot is unusual, the singular is av, father, and though it's a masculine word, it actually takes the plural is a feminine form, avot. And here, avot as a construct with chem added on the end, a masculine plural pronoun. So your fathers, and obviously implying there your forefathers, so many generations ago. Bayom, in the day. So they're here being translated at the time. And then note 6 of the page, Bayom, at the time. Yom means day or period of time. And so b'yom is often frequently used just to express, really in the sense of when, at that particular period of time. Hotzi'i otam, hotzi'i, I brought out, from the verb yatsa, to go out. And otam is 8, the direct object marker, with am, masculine plural, third masculine plural pronoun suffix. I brought them out. Me eretz, so the me there is min, from, and eretz, the land, and that's in construct with Mitzrayim, which is Egypt, from the land of Egypt. Mikur, so that's min again. The nun of min has been assimilated into the kaf and has become left behind. The remnant of it is a dagesh in the kaf. Mikur, so that's why the dagesh is there. From the kur, which is the furnace, habarzel of iron. Barzel is iron, saying. And note 7 says, Mikur habarzel, from the furnace of iron, that is for the furnace used for smelting iron. And we might translate it from the iron smelting furnace, i.e. something that's really hot and arduous.
Mm-hmm. Back to the I'm going to say it. It's the Sade Bob Yod.
Mm-hmm.
Say that again. So there's the
Tziviti. Tziviti.
So the dot in the Bob is not an U.
Right. So the dot there, the dagesh there, is functioning as a consonant, and it's a doubled consonant rather than as a shurek, the vowel. Now, how would you know that? You know that because it's got a vowel immediately under it, namely the hirek. So you can't have a vowel under a vowel. You can't double up vowels like that. So it has to be a consonant, and tziviti. So if we were to transliterate that one out, we would translate it sort of like that with a double V there. Okay, Karen. Okay, good. Shmu v'koli va'asitem otam k'kol asher atzaveh. So that atzaveh, the vav there is functioning as a consonant, doubled consonant, because it has a vowel going with it. Etchem vihyitem li la'am v'anochi echye lachem lelohim. Okay, so all together. Shemu v'koli va'asitem otam, k'kol asher atzave etchem vichyitem li la'am v'anochi echye lachem lelohim. So, Shemu, that's our commandment again, here, that we had up near the beginning. V'koli, my voice, kol, voice, and so note 8 on the next page, koli says, koli, my voice, kol, voice, sound, advice, command. And when Shema is followed by kol, it often implies doing what the speaker has said. Here, the continuation and do them suggests that in English we need a plural form for translating koli. So, translated as my commands or my instructions. So, old translations, you would find that hear my voice, and really it's a sense of hear my commands, my instructions. Va'asitem otam, and do them. So, asitem from asa, do. Here, the plural, masculine plural form. Kakol, according to all, asher atzave, which I command etchem you. So atzave, that's the same verb tzava that we had earlier, a few lines before. And then a note for 9, that kakol is made up of k, preposition k, one of these inseparable prepositions. It has to be, it's always prefixed to another word, according to, and then the word kol, all. Vichyitem, and you will be, the verb haya, li la'am, to me, for a people. So li is the inseparable preposition la, in this case belonging to, with the e as a first singular pronoun suffix. La'am, the lamed there, meaning to or becoming, am, a people. And Dobson notes, la'am, when forms of haya, he was, are followed by a noun with la, to or into or as, they may be translated according to the context as he was or he became. So haya la, we often can best translate as to become something. The anoki, and I, and so that's an emphatic pronoun. It's not necessary. If he had just said, Echye lachem lelohim, that would have been sufficient to say, I will be your God. But by adding in the anoki makes it really emphatic. So we could even translate that, so I myself will be your God. So I will be to you for a God, or I will become for you God. Okay, all comfortable with that? So, just summarize the new the vocabulary that we've had in that. This is now the top of page 85. So, arar, the verb arar means to curse. He cursed. It's the opposite of barach. So, barach is he blessed, and God endows something with, well, usually God endows something with abundant and effective life, endows it with potency and fruitfulness. And arar is to rob it of that. So this is what God first does with a serpent, Genesis 3:14, which comes on the heels of lots of reference to blessing in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. Tziva, he commanded, and that's the verb. And nowadays, this is best known from the word mitzvah. So, Jewish boys and girls go through a bar mitzvah or a bat mitzvah, and they become a son or a daughter of the commandment. So mitzvah is a noun formed from this as a commandment. Yatzah, he went out. We saw that in the form of God brought his people out of Egypt. So hotzi is the form of the verb meaning to bring out. Next column, kur is an oven or a furnace. Barzel is the word for iron. Kol, common word in Hebrew, voice or sound. Asa is a regular verb for he did, he made. Hayah, the verb he was, he is. And then Ehyeh, the form of the verb being I will be. First singular form of that. So this is what the word that the Lord uses in Exodus 3:14 when Moses asks, what is your name? And he says, Ehyeh asher Ehyeh. I am who I am, or I will be who I will be, or I am who I will be. And then he turns it around and says, Yihyeh, or Yahweh, which is the third singular form. That's where we get the personal name of God, the Lord. Okay, over to the next page, 86. And we have the imperatives and a table summarizing these imperatives. And imperatives come in four different forms. They're all in the second person because you're addressing somebody. And it can be masculine or feminine. And for each of those, it can be singular or plural. And these are the regular forms of them. So second masculine singular, so if you're addressing a single male, the imperative of the verb shamar, to keep, is shmor, shmor. And the feminine singular is shimri, shimri. The second masculine plural, so this would be if you're addressing a group of males or a mixed group, shimru, shimru. And then second feminine plural, if you're addressing a group of women, shmorna, shmorna. So that's the basic form in terms of the second masculine singular form doesn't have a suffix on it. The second feminine singular has a suffix e. Second masculine plural has the suffix u, and second feminine plural has the suffix na. And we've already seen those before with the imperfect form of the verb. It's the same suffixes. It's just with an imperfect, the imperfect, then we also have a prefix. And in this case, the prefixes are left off. So you can think of it as being, if you can remember the imperfect form of the verb, and just knock the prefix off for the second person, then you get the imperative. And there might be a little changing of the vowels. Okay, so you see that top of page 65 for the verb tiktol, or the verb katal, which is the verb we most frequently use now for the paradigm of the verb. So second person going masculine singular, feminine singular, masculine plural, feminine plural, tiktol, tiktali, tiktolu, tiktolna. So the imperative would be katol. You just knock the prefix off, the t off. It would be katol, katali, katolu, katolna. So we have 10 or so verbs here. And to sort of drum this, sort of show you the form. So we'll read through these in turn. So starting again with the beginning. So I'll read right the way across the line, and then you can all read across as well. So for the verb shamar, it's shmor, shimri, shimru, shmorna. Okay? Good. For the verb amad, it's amod, imadi, imadu, amodna. For the verb yashav, now here it's a little tricky because the yod, which is what we call a weak letter, and an initial yod tends to frequently disappears, and here it does. We have shav, shavi, shavu, shavna. For the verb shakav, to lie down, it's shakav, shikavi, shikavu, shikavna. For the verb kum, it's kum, kumi, kumu, komna.
Kum, kumi, kumu,
the verb akal, meaning eat. It's ekol, ikali, ikalu, akolna. The verb shata, meaning to drink, it's shte, shti, shtu, shtena. And there, the final he is another of these consonants that we call a weak letter and readily disappears, as it has in most of those forms. Okay. Halak, meaning he goes. And this has that initial hey, being a weak letter, it disappears. So we have lake, laki, laku, lakna. The verb shuv, meaning he returns, we have shuv, shuvi, shuvu, shovna. So you see that shuvu can be spelled two different ways, both really pronounced the same, just two different forms of the u vowel. Katav, he writes. We have katov, kitavi, kitavu, katovna. And finally, kara, he reads, he calls. He calls out, kara, kiri, kiru, kirena. Okay, good. So when you're reading and you see a vowel, a verb form that you think, looks like it's got the endings of a imperfect verb, but there's no prefix on it, then you've got an imperative. And usually when you're reading along, as you get better in Hebrew, the context is going to suggest that you've got an imperative as well, and that will help you interpret it and understand it.
Coming back to katov, the second feminine singular.
Ketavi, ketavi.
So
it's ketavi. So that's a vocal shva, and I deduce that because it's a soft bait, so it has to be preceded by a vowel, however short. Okay. And then we now have the bottom of page 86, a proverb, a mashal. A mashal, and the idea of that is that you're comparing something. That's really what that is with that mashal. Al tahi hakam be'enecha yira et Adonai yasur meira. So, al tahi hakam be'enecha yira et Adonai yasur meira. So, al tahi, do not be, in the verb haya. So, we've seen there are two ways of negating, al and lo. Al here, chakam, wise, the adjective wise. Be'enecha, in your eyes. Yara, it's the imperative of yara, to fear. Fear the Lord. And then sur, also an imperative, and turn away, mera is min plus ra, from evil. And in that case, mera, there's the nun has disappeared, but it doesn't leave a dagesh in the resh, because a resh can't have a dagesh in it. Page 87, some more vocabulary. So starting over on the right-hand side at the top, sham. Oh, sorry, sam. Sam. He put, he placed, not to be confused with sham, which means there. So here the verb sam, he put. El, El is God. Most usually we encounter that in the Hebrew Bible as Elohim, God, which is plural in form, but when it's talking about the Lord God, always has a singular verb. Dal, poor or humble. Dala is poverty. So dal is an adjective. Dala is a noun. Yesh, there is, there was, what we call a particle of existence. We've seen that, I think, a few times before. Hillel, he praised. Hulal, he was praised. Now, note that Hillel is what we call active. He praised. Hulal is passive. He was praised. So there, by changing the vowels, we've changed that verb from active to passive. Now you're going to learn about that later on. And in English, we turn something from active to passive by adding in other helping verbs. So he praised to he was praised, was there as a helping verb. Or he has been praised, there we have two helping verbs where the been, has been, makes it passive. In Hebrew, you change the vowels, and that gives you a whole set of passive forms of the verb. So Dobson here, as he does elsewhere, is just throwing this in to whet our appetite for something that's to come. Bat is daughter. Bam, in them, so that's made up of b, the inseparable preposition b, in, and then am, the pronominal suffix. El is two. Mayim is water. And in its construct, it's me, waters of. So notice it's an im ending, and then the construct is a. Okay, left-hand column. Peri can mean fruit, or so the fruit of a tree, or the fruit of your womb, in which case it's offspring, or the fruit of an action, in which case it means result. Sefer is book or document or scroll. Sifrei is the plural construct form, the books of. So we read of this many times, for example, in the books of the Samuel and Kings. It says, if you want to know more about the great deeds of this king, go and read the books of the Chronicles of the Kings of Judah. Yam means the sea. When it's Hayam, the sea, with an article, it always means the Mediterranean. And then because the sea is in the west for an Israelite, it then also means west, or can be used to mean west. Miyam, from the sea. So min plus yam, the nun of the min has disappeared or been assimilated into the noun and has become a dagesh in the first letter of the noun. Shalach, verb, he sent. Kach, that's an imperative from the verb lakach, he takes. This is the imperative. Lamed is another weak consonant that readily disappears and leaves a very brief, abrupt form. Shalcha, she sent. Lahem and lahen. Both mean to them. So lahem, to them, masculine. Lahen is feminine, plural. La, to her. And note the dagesh there in that final he, which is telling us to treat that as a consonant, not as part of a vowel with the comets. And I'll keep saying this every few weeks, so that blank looks on your face suggest you've never heard me say this before, but I've said it several times already, so. But I'll keep saying it every few weeks and you'll finally remember it. Well, it actually would sound the same if we said la, but then what you could do is you could misinterpret the... We've seen that feminine nouns usually end with a, where a comet's hey, where that comet's hey, really the whole thing is a vowel, and the hey really is functioning as a vowel. In this case, the hey is functioning as a consonant, as a separate little word that's been added onto the lamed. Well, it's pronounced la either way. La.
Same sound.
Yeah, it's the same sound. The point comes, and it's less clear. But I'll illustrate it with another word. So ish, we could have isha, isha and isha. Isha with a hey in there is telling me that it's ish, plus this is a consonant, the hey with a dagesh, and this is a consonant. And it's, in this case, the pronoun, the possessive pronoun, her ish. This one, isha, the kamet's hey ending there is just really the feminine form, really, of isha. So it means woman. So it's completely different. This would be her husband. This would be woman. If you were to transliterate this, it becomes a little clearer. Isha, where the hey there is a consonant. In this case, I'd transliterate this out just as a, with that symbol, where the hey is, this whole thing really is functioning as a vowel. Comet's hey. So it's put in to avoid, the Masoretes, the scribes added the dot here to avoid confusion. In the case where, there are instances where the presence of that dagesh does actually make a difference in how you read the word. Whether you read it as a feminine form of a word or as a, usually what would be a masculine form with this feminine suffix, possessive suffix. But this is something, it will continue to be a bit baffling to you, but as you grow in your understanding of Hebrew, will finally sink in. Li, to me. Am, people. So this would be a people, it could be used of the people of Israel. Lail, night. Yamim, seas. So yam, the singular, and yamim, the plural. Im, with. And then I'll just jump over to the right-hand column for that one. Imanu, with us. So we've seen that before. The ima, with, and then anu, the pronoun suffix, us. Back to the middle.
Bernard, you're saying im, not im?
Or, well, im, imanu, sorry, imanu. Safar. He counted or he recorded, and sofer is a writer, so one who does the counting or the recounting or the telling. Shalosh, three. Shilshom, so a noun derived from that, meaning specifically 3 days ago. So we don't have a word for that in English. Katav, he inscribed. Kash, straw, chaff. Koli, my voice, so kol with a first singular pronominal suffix. Chetzo, his delight, so it's made up of chefetz and o, third singular pronominal suffix. Nitza, blossom or flower. Batach, he trusted, a verb. Ba, he came. Shir, a song. And Shiri, my song. Yamim, days. And not to be confused with yamim, meaning seas. And the difference between those two is the dagesh in that mem, the first mem, and then change, a slight change in the first vowel, difference in the first vowel. But easy to confuse those two. Although context will usually help you determine which it is. Eved, Eved, servant. Asa, he did, he made. Kal. Kal means swift or light, and is derived from the verb kalal, to be light. Yamin is the right hand. So Benjamin, Benjamin, is son of the right, so son of my right hand. And this can also be used to mean south. Now, the way that directions are figured out is that somebody is pictured as facing east. So one of the words for east is kedem, which means what's in front of you. One of the words for south is right. So, and then north would be left, and west is behind. Several different ways of giving directions, talking about the compass points, and this is one of them, has to do with your body parts. Where you're facing east, so you're oriented, right? So you're facing the orient. Tom, completeness, innocent. Ata, he covered. Al, preposition meaning on. Hain, low or behold, so an interjection. Bikesh, he searched for. That one, there's a dagesh in the middle consonant, and several of the words on this page have had that dagesh in the middle consonant. Later on, we're going to learn which sets of verbs, the forms of verb that take a dagesh in the middle. That's a delight that awaits us yet. Tsi is desert, dryness. Yamei, the days of, the period of. So at the bottom of the middle column, we had yamim, days, and this is now the construct of that, yamei. Sham, there. So not to be confused with what, right at the very top of the page, sam, he placed. Kam, he got up. And ko, thus or so. Usually found, often found in the form ko amar adonai, thus says the Lord. Then page 88, suggestions of how you can help your memory. And at several instances, Dobson has encouraged acting something out and using visual aids to try and reinforce your memory. And he writes, the value of a static picture with a single word, for example, har, mountain, is limited. If possible, illustrate words in related groups. And so he suggests you draw interactive pictures, use bold red or blue, to link words to the pictures. Here are some simple examples. So the proverb, a wise son makes a glad father, which is Bein Chacham Yisamach Av. And he gives some suggestions how you might want to draw that out. That might help you get that into your memory. But I really want to look at the bottom half of the page, where we have the makings of a simple narrative. Starting over at the right-hand side with Yashav, he sat, so that's the perfect form of the verb, right? And we've seen this is how we can begin a narrative that way. He sat, Vayakam, so we now have a continuing narrative form of the verb, Va, beginning with Va and a Dagesh in the next consonant, right? And so in this case, in the yod. Then he got up, so yakam from kum. Then he arose, he got up. Vayelek shama. So vayelek, continuing narrative form of halak. Then he went. Shama is made of sham, there, with a directional hey. Remember, we've seen that. We can add a hey. Comments say onto the end of the word to say to there, towards there, so towards Sham. And you can do this with, you can add the name of a city, you can add a country, or anything like that, and just add that, what we call a directional hey, to to it. So he went there. Next one, Vayamod Sham. Vayamod Sham. And he stood there. Then he stood there. So Amad, he stand. He stood there. Vayashav Misham.
Misham.
Then he, Shuv is to return. Then he returned. Misham is made up of min, so from, and that the nun has disappeared, gotten assimilated into the sham, and has left its remnant behind as a dagesh in the sheen. So been assimilated into the sheen. Misham, from there. Vayavo.
Vayavo.
Then he came. And then Vayeshev. Then he sat. Okay. So you see how that's working, both in terms of the forms of the verbs. We start with the perfect form, Yashav, he sat. And then we switch into these continuing narrative forms for all the others because we're telling a story with each stage in the story. And then you see how Shama, Sham, and Misham is working. Okay, well that ends lesson 7.